The Ark of Millions of Years, Chapter 8, The Temporal Creation. The temporal creation is the physical or visible creation that is known as our universe. It is the place where our Milky Way galaxy, home to our solar system, is located. Our universe had a violent beginning. About 13 billion years ago, the universe burst into being through a theoretical event called the Big Bang. The universe itself and all matter that it contains seems to have been born in the mother of all explosions, and its continuing evolution makes abundant use of explosive processes having magnitudes that defy imagination. The Big Bang theory is almost universally accepted by scientists as its beginning. What existed before the Big Bang? Nothing existed before the creation of the universe because time did not exist. Maybe there was matter unorganized and clumped together into one large black hole. The Big Bang theory states that the universe began with one singular point, which is known as a singularity. All the matter and energy which is now present in the universe was squeezed into this singularity of infinitely small volume. From the singularity, the universe exploded and released an incredible amount of matter and energy. From the singularity came only matter and energy, not only, but also space and time. Immediately after the explosion, a massive fireball formed called the primordial fireball. This fireball is thought to have been as hot as 1 million billion 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 degrees Kelvin. The fireball moved away from the singularity in all directions, and from it came elementary particles like neutrons, protons, and electrons. Since writing this chapter, the Wilkinson Microwave Anisotropy Probe, the WMAP, a NASA satellite, has been able to take a picture of the images of the Big Bang's afterglow, known as the cosmic microwave background. The remnant glow from the Big Bang pegs the universe's age to an unprecedented accuracy of 1%. Astronomers can now say the universe is 13.7 billion years old. The new data also confirms that the universe began with a brief but humongous growth spurt dubbed inflation, or the Big Bang. The satellite was also able to delineate the cosmos' composition as 4% ordinary matter, 23% is invisible stuff called cold dark matter, which prompted the galaxies to coalesce, and 73% is so-called dark energy, which has accelerated the rate at which the universe expands. What's more, the WMAP satellite revealed that the universe had already made an abundance of stars when it was only 200 million years old, or about one-fifth the age that many astronomers had predicted. This report appeared on Science News Online, February 15, 2003. And John N. Bachall of the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, made the following remarks. For cosmology, this announcement represents a rite of passage from philosophical uncertainty to precision science. Every astronomer will remember where he or she was when they first heard the WMAP results. There are two documented sources in ancient writings that support the Big Bang theory. These sources were written about 2,000 years ago, long before the Big Bang theory ever surfaced. The Slavonic Book of Enoch, in two places, chapters 11 and 17, speaks about a primordial great aeon, bearing the inexplicable name of Adoil. For before all things were visible, I alone used to go about the invisible things, like the sun, from east to west and from west to east, and I conceived the thought of placing foundations and of creating visible creation. I commanded in the very lowest parts that visible things should come down from invisible, and Adoil came down, very great, and I beheld him, and lo, he had a great belly of light. And I said to him, "Become undone, Adoil, and let the visible come out of thee." And he came undone, and a great light came out. And from light there came forth a great age, and showed all creation which I had thought to create. And I saw that it was good. Another account of this event is found in the Secrets of Enoch, Forgotten Books of Eden, almost word for word as above, but with this additional paragraph. And I summoned the very lowest a second time, and said, "Let Arcas come forth." And he came forth hard from the invisible. And Arcas came forth hard, heavy, and very red. And I said, "Be opened, Arcas, and let there be born from thee." And he came undone. An age came forth, very great and very dark, bearing the creation of all lower things. And I saw that it was good, and said unto him, "Go thou down below, and make thyself firm, and be for a foundation for the lower things." And it happened, and he went down and fixed himself, and became the foundation for the lower things. And below the darkness there is nothing else. According to a primitive Chinese myth, at the beginning of time, the universe had the shape of an egg. When the egg of chaos broke, a giant, Pan Ku, came out of it, along with two basic elements, yin and yang. Yang formed the sky, and yin condensed to become the earth. After neutrons, protons, and electrons came from the primordial fireball, these particles spread out across the universe at an incredible rate, and soon began to cool down and form elements like hydrogen and helium. These would serve as the foundation and building blocks for the stars and the planets. As the universe continued to cool down, eventually galaxies formed and planets materialized. The universe was a million years old before the first star formed in a galaxy. It has been estimated that there are perhaps 200 billion galaxies, or separate star systems, extending as far as the Hubble telescope has been able to search. Galaxies come in different sizes and shapes. Most are found to be spiral-shaped, many to be elliptical, and a few to be irregular. Our own Milky Way galaxy is spiral-shaped. The spirals resemble enormous arms, like a pinwheel, that spin from a central bulge and coil around it in a thin disk. It is a balanced community of stars at all stages, from birth to death. Old red stars fill its bulge, and young blue stars, gas and dust, define its spiral arms. It is estimated that our Milky Way galaxy contains about 200 billion stars, many of them in clusters of hundreds of thousands. The diameter of the Milky Way disk is about 100,000 light years, or 600 quadrillion miles. Its central thickness is about 10,000 light years, and it has five distinct arms. The galaxy needs approximately 240 million years to complete one orbit of the galactic center. Since its creation, the galaxy has made about 20 to 21 rotations. Recent discoveries indicate that the galactic center of the Milky Way galaxy contains a giant black hole. The Hubble telescope has further discovered that every galaxy contains a black hole in its galactic center, and that black holes may be instrumental in galaxy formation and destruction. Our solar system is situated within the outer regions of the galaxy, about 28,000 light years from the galactic center. It is situated within a smaller spiral arm called the Local or Orion Arm. Even though it takes the galaxy 240 million years to make a complete rotation, clockwise, the arm that contains our solar system is whipping around 465,000 miles an hour. Our solar system is just a dot on the Milky Way map. Poet Archibald MacLeish put our Earth into perspective, quote, "A small planet of a minor star at the edge of an inconsiderable galaxy in the immeasurable distances of space," close quote. The most accepted theory among scientists is that our solar system condensed from a cloud composed of gas and dust about 4.5 billion years ago. The process produced heat that ignited the sun and formed young molten planets around it. Later, the planets cooled into rocky cores that became the foundation blocks of building into larger planets by a process called accretion. They accumulated dust and rocks by violent impact bombardment to eventually become planets. This process took about 3 million years. Psalms 102 verse 25 describes the early event of Earth and its solar system. "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." The accretion process was described years ago by Joseph Smith, who revealed that the physical Earth was constructed from the destroyed remains of other creations that had not filled the measure of their creation. He quotes, "This Earth was organized or formed out of other planets, which were broken up and remodeled and made into the one on which we live," close quote. Early in the formative period of the hot molten Earth, a very large object, as big as Mars or more, collided with the Earth and ejected material that cooled and formed the Earth's large moon. Detailed information from the moon rocks led to the now widely accepted impact theory. The moon, once formed, continued to accrete materials to it by big impacts, possibly adding rock with a composition different from the rest of the moon, accounting for some unexplained lunar interior features. In 1974, Dr. William Ward, a scientist, discovered that the presence of our large moon acts to stabilize the variation of Earth's rotational axis. Without this stabilization, extreme climatic changes would occur that would render the planet uninhabitable. It seems that having a large moon may be one of the key factors necessary for a habitable Earth-like planet. After several million years, the impact rate declined. Earth's magma, oceans, cooled, and a stable crust formed. Later, water began to leak out of the Earth to form oceans and the atmosphere, further cooling the Earth sufficiently for life forms to originate. Genesis is a narrative of the creation process that supports the above creation theory as follows. Chaotic matter not only preceded the planet's creation, it became the planet Earth. After the Earth was brought forth into existence, it produced water, and when water, in liquid form, could exist, it gave rise to life. In the infancy of the planet, the oceans were shallow and easily warmed. When land began to emerge, the warm waters kept land temperatures tropical. In the book, there are three pages of tables taking the creation period of the Earth through the Chaozoic, Mesozoic, Paleozoic, Proterozoic, Archaeozoic, And then through the Holocene, Pleistocene, Pliocene, Holocene, and other creation periods going back around 29 million years. Eras are divided into several periods, and each period is divided into epochs. Epochs are subdivided into even smaller divisions. Animals with hard shells appeared in great numbers for the first time during the Cambrian period. The early Devonian period was the age of fishes. Plants took over the land and became so abundant that the first coal deposits formed in the tropical swamps. By the late Permian period, reptiles had spread across the face of the supercontinent of Pangaea. 99% of all life perished during the extinction event that marked the end of the Paleozoic era. After the Permo-Triassic extinction, life began to re-diversify. The supercontinent Pangaea began to rift apart. By the Cretaceous period, the continents were separated. Mesozoic means middle life. This era is divided into three periods, Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous. Almost all the modern orders of insects appeared during the Mesozoic periods. During the early Jurassic period, the dinosaurs spread across Pangaea. About the middle of the Mesozoic era, during the Jurassic period, at Chicxulub impact site, a 10-mile-wide comet caused global climate changes that killed the dinosaurs and many other forms of life. Close to the middle of the Miocene epoch, the world assumes a modern configuration of landmass. The ice ages occurred during the upper and middle Pleistocene epoch. Today we now live in the Holocene epoch, a modern day era. Geologists indicate that we are entering a new phase of continental collision that will ultimately result in the formation of a new Pangaea supercontinent. The global climate is warming, which will cause global climatic changes in weather patterns affecting plant and animal life. Now, this is a broad overview of our planet's creation history and future physical and climatic changes. Those students of Earth science who desire a more detailed description of the geological periods may find the information in university-level textbooks. The temporal creation is millions of years old and was brought forth over periods of time. In the order of time and in the succession of events, the temporal creation of heavens and earth and all things contained therein differs from the spiritual creation. The Lord told Abraham that the earth upon which he stood, the physical earth's creation or preparatory epoch, consisted of six times or periods to bring it forth and eventually prepare its surface to sustain modern plant and animal life, including man. The Quran states in Surah 54, "Surely the Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in six periods of time, and He is firm in power." The Sefer Yetzirah, or the Book of Creation, speaks of the six cycles of creation that occurred over vast periods of time. The scriptures and ancient writings indicate that God, the Son, along with other noble beings acting under the direction of the Father, were the creators of the temporal universe, the galaxies, our solar system, and the planet upon which we now live. "For we saw him, even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father, that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made all the worlds, and worlds without number have I created, and I also created them for mine own purpose. And by the Son I created them, which is mine only begotten. After the physical earth was formed and the many elements organized, God simply let the earth bring forth when the conditions were right, without further intervention. This is clearly demonstrated in the following scriptures. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life." And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. It appears from the above scriptures that earth and water in themselves have the capability to bring forth living things when conditions are right. The process of bringing forth was not instantaneous, but occurred over a vast period of time, and in that respect the Genesis account of creation supports evolution. By the same token, this capability to seemingly bring forth is a power that has been erroneously labeled by man the evolutionary law of nature and the powers of nature. These laws of nature are the manifestation of the powers of God. Simply stated, God revealed himself through nature. The all-pervading, omnipresent substance is the Holy Spirit, or life force, existing in inexhaustible quantities and extending through the immensity of space. It is the light and the life and the power of all things. To search out the laws of nature is nothing less than searching out the laws by which the spirit in nature operates. Man is continually holding these wonderful operations, but because he does not behold the acting agent, he ascribes the effects to blind, unintelligent, and unconscious matter. As well might he ascribe the attributes of the divinity to a wooden idol. The light shines all around us and is manifested in an infinite variety of wise and beneficial results. But so great is the darkness of man that he perceives not the light. Or, as our great Redeemer has said, "The light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not." Man is continually experimenting with the powers of nature, but he perceives not that those very powers with which he is so familiar are nothing less than the manifestations of the power of God through the elements which are his tabernacle. It is God, or in other words, the Holy Spirit or life force, which is associated in a greater or less degree with every particle of matter in the universe. It is this holy and all-wise substance that is omnipresent, pervading universal nature, governing and controlling worlds without number, producing and superintending the grand and august movements of the combined whole as it stretches itself out on every side to infinity. And it is this all-wise, omnipresent, and almighty substance that unites system with system under its own forces, so regulated as to maintain an eternal bond of union, and yet so nicely adjusted as to prevent worlds from rushing on worlds as they fly with inconceivable velocity in their appointed orbits. Were it not for the presence of this all-pervading substance, matter would be wholly devoid of force. The great central force of gravitation could not exist. Matter could not have been collected into worlds. Or if collected, there could have been no adherence of its particles, no chemical combinations, no formation of solids or liquids no organizations of any kind, no varieties of matter, no hard and impenetrable atoms, but all substance without force would have been infinitely divisible, without properties of any kind, except the property of existence in space. Without this all-wise substance, as the acting agent for stability in the laws of nature, this universe would cease to exist. The great architect of the temporal creation does intervene from time to time in the process of creation in order to bring about the desired results. Perhaps this is why mass extinctions occur. In the past, in order that new forms of life could be introduced to prepare the planet for that particular period, time period of creation, extinctions occur. Once life forms were brought forth, they were given the ability to reproduce after their kind. General characteristics of a kind can be altered by climate and environment, but science has produced no evidence that at any time in the course of the development of life on Earth has one kind of creature developed into another kind of creature. These evolutionary laws of nature are nothing less than the power of God acting according to prescribed laws, fixed and unchangeable in their mode of operation, and changes only when the authority that gave them directs a deviation. Ancient writings and scriptures attest that some things were also created and did not evolve. Early plant forms, mammals, reptiles, and fish did evolve, and some of their descendants are on Earth today. But there is also a population of modern-day animals and modern-day birds that were created and did not evolve. This will be explained in the chapter, The Arrival of Noah. The age-old question of whether man was created in the image of God or did he descend from primates will also be addressed in the chapter, The Lost Civilization of Mu. To do so now would be getting the cart before the horse. Finally, we as earthlings are all wrapped up in our own little world. It is the center of focus of our life. But if you put the creation of this earth into proper perspective, you will begin quickly to discover that it is probably neither the biggest or most important work of the Creator in this universe. It is evident that the Earth is only a very small portion of the temporal universe. It wouldn't exist were it not for our solar system and the Milky Way galaxy, one of billions of galaxies in an immense universe, so immense that we have yet to find its limits.